Woodrow Wilson once said, "You are not here merely to make a living. You are here to enable the world to live more amply with greater vision and with a finer spirit of hope and achievement. You are here to enrich the world. You impoverish yourself if you forget this errand." Hello, I'm Bob Proctor. In this edition of the Freedom Series, I'm going to be discussing the key factors that distinguish two very distinct types of individuals. The individual who's always busy but accomplishing little, and the one who is focused on a specific target, working with a sense of urgency. The difference between these two individuals is the difference between just making it through life with one's work and creating great work, a memorable masterpiece of movement and success. If you'll get out a pad of paper and pen and work with me through the exercises I'm recommending in this lesson, you'll be acting on your biggest goals in less than an hour. Since physical activity stems from ideas that evolve from the mind, the knowledge of conscious activity and its interesting processes is always of prime importance for people who know where they are going. I want to suggest that you take a moment to analyze the differences in mental patterns. First, we find that ideas are either scattered or concentrated. From experience, we know that scattered mental patterns are non-productive, whereas concentrated thoughts usually bring results. For example, if a magnifying glass is placed over a piece of paper so that the rays of sun are scattered, very little heat is generated. But when the rays are concentrated to a focal pinpoint, intense heat is developed. Fire is the result. When your thoughts are scattered, your energy has no focal point and no intensity. Therefore, there is no fire of action, no sense of urgency. In addition to being used with intensity and concentration, your thoughts may be directed serenely or with strain, constructively or destructively, positively or negatively. Your thoughts are either competent or incompetent, wise or foolish. Wise thoughts are those that help humanity in a search of security and happiness. They make the world a more plentiful and peaceful place in which to live. Foolish thoughts are those that hinder your progress and harm everything in creation. The wise person's thoughts are in harmony with universal law. The thoughts of a foolish person work in opposition to the law. Competent thinking includes all the vibrant impulses of life: love, truth, abundance, harmony, and enthusiasm. This type of thinking brings with it serenity and joy, the essential ingredients of happiness. History has recorded many great men and women who accomplish more with their lives every year or two than the majority of people do in their entire lifetimes. These so-called superachievers stand out in a crowd like a brilliant beacon in a dark night. They earn a large share of the world's rewards, and they never stop earning these rewards. They just keep moving forward, systematically and with urgent purpose, toward another goal, and another goal, and yet another goal. They are constantly focused on producing great work. And that, right there, is the key. They are competent thinkers. They are systematic. And they move with purpose, urgent purpose. As a result, great work emerges. Achieving great work is not reserved for those few people who are part of the Mensa Club, have several degrees behind their names, or have been born with a silver spoon in their mouth. Great work stems from two very basic elements: systematic thinking and movement with purpose. The world has always cried for men and women who can get things done, for people who are self-starters, who see a task through to its finish. More than any other single reason, millions of people are held back from success because they don't know how to get things done. The biggest handicap to creating great work is not a lack of brains nor a lack of character or willingness. It is a weakness in getting things done. They have no system in place to tackle one thing after another. These millions of people who fail to do something great with their lives know what to do and almost do it all the time. They almost win promotions. They almost become leaders. They may miss by a minute or inch, but they do miss. The individuals who almost make it in life are not lazy. Often they're busier than the very effective few. They putter around all day long and half the night, though they fail to accomplish anything of any real importance. They are held back by indecision, by a lack of organization in their work, and by an overattention to minor details. They run around in circles and get absolutely nowhere because they don't chart a straight course and then stick to it. You don't have to work harder. You have to work more effectively through systematic thought. Ernest Hemingway said, "Never confuse movement with action." Isn't that beautiful? You must learn to make your work count. You must develop your systematic and urgent purpose. In so doing, you emerge from the rabble of the almost to that of achiever and leader. Lao Tzu said, "When the effective leader is finished with his work, the people say it happened naturally." When you are systematic with urgent purpose, it does fall into place effectively and efficiently. There are many positive shared characteristics in the personalities of men and women who do great work. In most cases, they weren't born with the characteristics that produce this memorable effort, but have instead carefully nurtured them along. At one point in their lives, these men and women made the decision to accomplish more than just a little. They made the decision because they knew, somewhere back in the recesses of their mind, that they deserved this better life. And not only did they deserve this better life, but it was their responsibility to create the finest life possible, to create a truly memorable life by doing the work that pursued their loftiest dreams, whatever the costs and whatever the odds. Do you think the work you're doing this year will be recognized and admired, still serving people, still making a difference 360 years from now? This is an interesting question. Many people don't care. Others, if they answered the question honestly, would have to admit that it wouldn't. This question came to my mind when I visited Rijksmuseum in Amsterdam and stood admiring Rembrandt's masterpiece, Night Watch. Rembrandt painted Night Watch in 1642. At least, that's the date marked on the painting. It was not the first time that I'd seen his work, and although I'm not an art critic, I am fascinated by the detail and perfection in his work. So there, my wife Linda and I were standing and enjoying it, when I began to think of how long ago he had painted this picture, and that the world still enjoys his efforts. It is estimated that Rembrandt invested 1 year of his life in this single painting. I seriously doubt that every day as he picked up his brush and mixed his paint, that he was telling himself, "This painting must be of such great quality that it'll be enjoyed for centuries." No, but as you study this classic, it is obvious that each and every day, Rembrandt gave the best he had to give. Will someone say that about you, about your work 360 years from now? Or do you care? If you do care, you might want to follow Robert Russell's advice. He said, "There's no secret to becoming great or doing great work. You simply do little things in a great way every day." I think that is probably what Rembrandt did. He did a little in a great way every day. 3.5 centuries later, I'm still talking to you about it. Give your best today. It might make a big difference 300 or 400 years from now. Laugh if you choose. Rembrandt probably would have in 1642, but he still gave his best. Why don't you? Does this daily giving of your best mean that you will immediately and always succeed? Not necessarily, but your efforts will eventually pay off in the end. Theodore Roosevelt said, "The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs and comes up short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcomings. He who does actually strive to do the deed, who knows the great enthusiasm, the great devotion, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who, at the best, knows triumph in the end, and who, at the worst, fails while daring greatly, he knows his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who know neither victory nor defeat." You don't want to be one of those cold and timid souls, do you? The people we recognize as high achievers, they didn't want to be one of those souls either. So they set out with a sense of urgency. It was time to do great work. People who are focused, who follow a systematic approach, and have a sense of urgency generally do great work. They very rarely rush and are seldom in a panic. Hurry, rush, and panic are mental states that individuals experience when they have a lot to do and have no systematic approach to getting it done. When you feel hurried, rushed, or panicked, you can bet that you've fallen off purpose or you've never been on purpose in the first place. Imagine watching a prize fighter in a boxing ring with a lesser opponent. The weaker man might begin the event with vigor, but you'll see that as the rounds wear on, he begins to stumble. His punches begin to look more like swats. He's falling off his purpose. Meanwhile, the prize fighter remains systematic, with one calculated blow after another. The prize fighter is never rushed. His pace is never hurried. There is a sense of urgency about him, but nothing he does strays from the systematic plan he has in place to win the coveted prize. This is the difference between having a sense of urgency versus simply rushing through one's day pell-mell, tackling or being tackled by the miscellaneous urgent matters as they pop up on radar. This doesn't mean that the people out there doing great work are achieving because they have less tasks to do in a day. Quite the contrary. People who are doing great work are normally taking on 2 or 3 times more in a day than just about anyone else on the planet. They accomplish more in a day or a week than many people accomplish in a year or even a decade. The only difference lies in their attitude and their action. Every one of these superachievers does a tremendous amount of work in a minimum period of time. They have a long list of projects that they complete daily, goal-achieving projects. In other words, work that counts. Their sense of urgency automatically detects those projects in their daily lives that are goal-achieving and that call for immediate attention. They immediately act on these projects to successful completion. People who act with a sense of urgency aren't just busy for the sake of busyness. They are effective because they have this tremendous sense of urgency with respect to important, goal-oriented matters that need to get done. They are professionals. Many years ago, I made an interesting observation, which has proved to be very beneficial. The world's most powerful, successful, service-oriented individuals frequently quote others who have gone down in history as having made a difference. Kennedy would quote Lincoln, or Churchill would quote Aristotle. As I observed and thought about this golden thread that ran through their lives, I realized that to quote leaders of the past, they must have studied what these leaders had said or done. They were attempting to learn something from advice that was offered by great men and women who had proved they knew what they were talking about. Because I had a desire to emulate many of these achievers, I began to study their lives and the advice they gave us. If you're not doing this now, I suggest you try it. During the Second World War, General George Patton studied the life and philosophy of his opponent, Field Marshal Rommel, who commanded enemy forces. It paid off for Patton. He defeated his opponent, who was better known as the Desert Fox. Every one of these giants had taken the advice of Harry Emerson Fosdick, who said, "No horse gets anywhere until it is harnessed. No steam or gas ever dries anything until it is confined. No Niagara is ever turned into light and power until it is channeled. And no life ever grows great until it is focused, dedicated, and disciplined." Mentally play for a while with what Fosdick said, and you will learn something. Internalize his advice and act on it, and you will realize just how effective you can become. You will certainly not go down in history as an also-ran. Realize the greatness you develop and the sense of urgency you operate with will always be in direct proportion to your commitment to results insofar as any project is concerned. Mike Foss wrote an article on commitment where he shared some very interesting observations. He said, "Commitment is deciding that the price is worth paying for the goal that will be achieved." He went on to say, "Have you ever noticed how the idea of commitment is easy but the living into it is hard. I think that's because commitment is one of those realities that really doesn't take hold until it is difficult. Foss was right. Becoming great at anything calls for you to keep going when it does become difficult. The commitment has to be solid, and like Fostick said, your energy cannot be wasted. It calls for a sense of urgency. And you will find, if you haven't already, that developing a sense of urgency around a project and the length of time it will take you to form the habit of urgent daily action will depend on your degree of commitment to your goal. Many people out there will say they want something. Few will actually believe that it is truly accessible to them. Fewer still will begin to take action towards reaching that goal, and fewer still will lay out a systematic plan involving several steps that will indeed help them achieve that goal. Then, even fewer will manage to stay on track with that sense of urgency as they move through the steps toward their goal. Now, that's commitment. Commitment takes planning on the front end to achieve the end result. It was J.B. Matthews who wrote, "Unless a person has trained him or herself for their chance will only make them look ridiculous. A great occasion is worth to a person exactly what their preparation enables them to make of it." Any winner will be quick to tell you that preparation is the key to success in any endeavor. You should make up your mind to become so good, so competent at what you are doing, that you will actually force opportunities to come your way. Take a serious look at your industry and ask yourself where you think your industry will be insofar as growth is concerned over the next 10 years. If you can see no limit to the growth of your industry, then it's only reasonable to say there is no limit to your own opportunity for growth within your industry in that same time frame. There are people in your industry right now that have written their own ticket. They have developed something inside themselves that has expressed itself through their behavior. It is called confidence. They have confidence. They are affecting life in their industry rather than just being affected by it. They take 30 minutes or so every day to think of how they can put more into their job, how to be more creative, how to provide a greater service. Rather than just giving their time, they give all they've got. In a period of 5 years or less, you can become an acknowledged expert in your particular industry. Surveys indicate that the great majority of people look at their job as being as far as they will go. They should realize that an expanding, dynamic industry not only needs but seeks the uncommon person to share in its growth and will richly reward the person of vision and action, a person who operates with a sense of urgency, a person who is committed to producing great work. Give everything you've got for the next 90 days, and your industry will give you everything you want for the rest of your life. Now, let me repeat that. If you will give everything you've got for the next 90 days, your industry will give you everything you want for the rest of your life. That's a powerful promise, and it's the truth. Are you truly working on the tasks that matter, or are you instead mired in the tasks that serve only to steer you off course? You have to know where you're starting from, what your goal is, what its daily tasks are, how many of those tasks you're accomplishing before you can truly plot your course to getting there. You can't call into your favorite airline and tell them you want to go to Biloxi, Mississippi, and expect them to issue you a ticket. They first need to know where you are. The same follows for your biggest goals. Before you can reach any destination, it is absolutely essential that you know where you are as it relates to what you truly want and what you're currently accomplishing to move you toward that goal. In so doing, you're taking your first committed steps towards accomplishing the goal. I'm going to ask you to do an exercise, and I want you to be completely honest with yourself. It's important that we determine where we are presently, insofar as a sense of urgency is concerned. In other words, let's take a look at your commitment. On a piece of paper, I'd like you to write a major goal that you think about often. Then, underneath this goal, divide the paper into two columns, column A, and column B. Under column A, I'd like you to write what you accomplished in the last week, steps and achievements of any size or kind that happened through the week. Just take a few moments to jot down any number of achievements down. Then, under the B column, I'd like you to write at least 1 to 5 action steps you could have taken on this particular goal but didn't schedule into your week or were sidetracked from accomplishing. As you look at your 2 columns of activity and projected activity that never really happened, you'll know where your sense of urgency is on this particular goal. Now, mentally play a little game with yourself. If you had an employee and their annual income was based on their sense of urgency toward the stated goal, what do you suppose you would assign as their annual income? What is your annual income? See, your income should be directly related to your sense of urgency with respect to starting and completing goal-achieving projects. If your income is out of line with your commitment to results, it would be wise to remember the law of compensation, which clearly states that the amount of money you earn will always be in direct proportion to the need for what you do, your ability to do it, and the difficulty there will be in replacing you. Now, I'm going to repeat that because this is of utmost importance. The law of compensation states that the amount of money you earn will always be in direct proportion to the need for what you do, your ability to do it, and the difficulty there will be in replacing you. Focus your attention on rule number 2, doing it with commitment, and you will find that the other 2 steps in the law of compensation will take care of themselves. This law applies to every facet of your life. Douglas Mulock once wrote a poem that goes like this: "There may be nothing wrong with you, the way you live or the work you do, but I can very plainly see exactly what is wrong with me. It isn't that I'm indolent or dodging duty by intent. I work as hard as anyone, and yet I get so little done. The morning goes, the noon is here, and before I know it, the night is near. And all around me, I regret, are things I haven't finished yet. If I could just get organized, I oftentimes have realized that not all that matters is the man. The man must also have a plan. With you, there may be nothing wrong, but here's my trouble right along. I do things that don't amount to very much of no account, that really seem important, though, and let a lot of other matters go. I nibble this, I nibble that, but I never finish what I'm at. I work as hard as anyone, and yet I get so little done. I do so much, you'd be surprised, if I could just get organized." All right, now it's time to get organized for what you want. On the same pad of paper, I want you to write 6 goal-achieving projects that you would like to complete as soon as possible. The bigger, the better. I often tell people that if you think you're thinking big, you're not thinking big enough. So don't wimp out on me here, and don't wimp out on yourself. Write 6 goals that mean a lot to you, even if you're not sure how you can possibly achieve them. Do not concern yourself with how you will do them at this point. That will be looked after later. Now, working on the premise that the subconscious mind is totally deductive and can only accept what the conscious mind turns over to it, knowing the subconscious mind has no ability to distinguish between something imagined or something factual, complete the following exercise. Take each project you outlined one at a time and do the following. First, describe the goal in detail and choose a completion date. Second, why do you want this goal? What does it mean to you? How will your life change when you achieve this goal? I want you to sit back for a moment and turn to the movie screen of your marvelous mind. I want you to picture yourself after you've achieved the goal. Where are you? Who's around you? What are you doing every day because this goal was achieved? Are you receiving accolades for it? If so, picture yourself receiving those awards. It is ultimately important that you create a vision for your mind of you already having accomplished this goal. By doing so, you are becoming emotionally involved with the goal. You start to want it more. You start to think about it more. And your mind begins to come to your aid, helping you with new ideas, creating more effective action steps. Meanwhile, you've set energy in motion. The entire universe is out there waiting to help you create. It is, after all, what the universe specializes in, constant creation of good. As you begin to move toward your goal, it begins to move toward you. You begin to meet people serendipitously who, oddly enough, have something to do with helping you achieve your goal. You come across entities or funding that can help you on your way. Complete strangers inexplicably begin working with you, helping you move toward your goal. Picture all of this coming your way and get excited, get emotionally involved. Albert Einstein said, "Imagination is more important than knowledge, for knowledge is limited, while imagination embraces the entire world." Look forward with anticipation and expectation to every day that lies before you as you begin to put the pieces in place to help you achieve that goal. Third, with that sense of urgency foremost in mind, create your initial steps, any steps you can think of that will get you started. The most important step is the first step, getting the ball rolling, getting the momentum going. As Pete Johnson said, first and foremost, your ability to achieve a success at a targeted, predetermined goal will be a direct function of the degree of consistent intensity which drives the momentum of your efforts. Consistent intensity which drives the momentum of your efforts. That's urgency. Now, prioritize your list. Robert J. McCain said, "Set priorities for your goals. A major part of successful living lies in the ability to put first things first." Indeed, the reason most major goals are not achieved is that we spend our time doing second things first. Title this list your UP list, Urgent Project List. Now you're ready for action. So act. Decide today. Decide tonight what your action will be tomorrow. Just how are you going to accomplish great work tomorrow? You see, your day actually starts before you go to bed. Individuals who control their time, meaning they actually have control of their tasks, live successful, well-balanced lives, and they never do so by accident. They plan their lives this way because they are headed somewhere. They have a definite purpose. They are committed to results, and they have a high sense of urgency. These people not only know where they are going, they also know where they are now and what they are presently doing with their time. They are consciously aware of the value of time. Earl Nightingale directed me to a proverb one time that is rich with truth, was when it was said, and it is today. "Seest thou a man diligent in his business, and he will stand before kings." Earl Nightingale was certainly diligent in his business, and when I first went into his office, I saw a picture of Earl and his wife being introduced to Queen Elizabeth. You may say, well, that's really no big deal. Well, I think it was, and it proved that that proverb is literally accurate right up to today. You see, 5 minutes here and 5 minutes there might not appear important, but over the period of your lifetime, those short 5 minute segments of time add up. 1 hour a day adds up to 9 40-hour weeks in a year. So let's put together a short checklist on simple steps you can take to maintain and follow through with daily planning prior to your going to bed the night before. Number one, carry a notepad, a Palm Pilot, or a dictaphone with you to jot down things to be done. I remember hearing a story once that Lord Bacon carried a notepad with him on which he had pre-printed, "Sudden thought, set down to use." Now that's expectation and anticipation. Number two, plan your day tightly. Schedule enough activities to keep you moving productively. Number three, schedule your outgoing telephone calls so that they can be taken care of in one sitting. There's less chance of finding busy lines early in the morning than late in the afternoon. Number four, plan meetings, conferences, or conference calls near the beginning or close of the day, not in the midst of work periods. Prior to the meeting, possibly the night before, write out a list of agenda items to discuss in each conference. And finally, number 5, plan things that you can work on or think about while you're in transit or waiting around. Have material to read or other constructive work handy for off moments that inevitably crop up. Now, let's address the issue of distractions. When you become recognized for producing great work, you're raising the world's standard of living. It's the producers who win the big share of the world's rewards. The producers are those people who have developed a sense of urgency for getting things done and will not permit the almosts to distract them from accomplishing great work. Earlier in this session, I asked you to list a number of activities you had been involved in last week. Then, had you ranked them in relation to the achievement of your stated goal? When I do this exercise with seminar audiences, most of them are pretty surprised and somewhat dejected at all the busyness of life getting in the way of our goal. But now, you've done the hardest work. You've created the defense against the incoming hassles, haggles, and last-minute responsibilities that used to steer you from your purpose. You've committed to your goal. You've laid out your initial action steps. And you're now acting with a sense of urgency, with the possibility of your work still being recognized 3.5 centuries from this day. Remember this sense of urgency. Taste it, feel it, and know it. Lodge its insistence, its anticipation, the emotional appeal of the worthy ideal. Lodge it deep in your mind and keep consciously reinserting it there whenever you find yourself straying or feeling a tendency to temporarily jump ship. As Samuel Smiles said, "Where there is a will, there is a way." It's an old and true saying. He also resolved upon doing a thing by that very resolution often scales the barriers to it and secures its achievement. To think we are able is almost to be so. To determine upon attainment is frequently attainment itself. Additionally, you want to also analyze unexpected emergencies or panics before acting. I was talking to an athlete turned success story who told me that one of his high school coaches taught him such an important lesson on the value of time that he carried the simple lesson into his own personal life. The coach has a turn back time theme that he'd employ when players showed up late to the field. If they were 3 minutes late, the coach turned his watch back 3 minutes. If they were 10 minutes, the coach went back 10 minutes. The entire team then would stay through that extended time frame to complete the tightly scheduled practice. Rocket science? Hardly. It was a simple lesson in punctuality and the meaning of time. Yet for this athlete, it became a beneficial activity years later in his daily work. Still, to this day, he tells me that when he's pulled off course for an unscheduled jit or jot during his packed day of activity, he simply records the time it takes for this interruption, then adds the time to the end of his day. Just as he experienced in his younger years, it took just a few instances of adding 20 minutes to 55 minutes to his day to teach him to first analyze the incoming unexpected panic and then make a decision on whether it truly needed to be addressed right then and there. If it could be delegated to another party or if it could be added into his regular schedule a day or two later. Seest thou a person diligent in their business, they'll stand before kings. That's Proverbs 22 and 29, and Earl Nightingale directed me to that. Carry your urgent project list with you at all times. Review it as often as possible. Make sense of urgency a habit, and add greatness to every activity you're involved with. Keep in mind the words time and life are synonymous. When you waste one, you've wasted the other. When you get full value out of one, you also get full value out of the other. In closing, I'd like to quote Foster C. McClellan, who said, "Trust yourself. Create the kind of work that you will be happy to live with all your life. Make the most of yourself by fanning the tiny inner sparks of possibility into flames of achievement." This is Bob Proctor, and thank you.